Good morning, guys. Happy New Year. I don't think I've actually been able to say that to you guys. And today I'm really excited. This is the first time I'll be preaching in 2021, and I'm really glad that I get to preach about the Word of God. Mario talked about it a little bit and just reminded me that in the midst of the chaos of the last year, the Word of God hasn't changed. It's always been there. It will always be there for us. It has been for thousands and thousands of years. And for all this time that we've had God's word in our hand, it's been a source of comfort and hope and peace and salvation for us. And so I'm very excited to talk about God's word this morning and to talk about something that we can do as a church to engage more with God's word this year in 2021. Before I kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the message, I do have a video that I'd like to show you guys. This video is from one of my favorite kind of ministries. It's called the Bible Project. They kind of focus on making creative and educational tools to help us understand and engage our Bible. And so in this video, it's just going to kind of explain what the Bible is and how it came to us in the form we have it. This is something that could take, a whole class to cover, but this is just kind of to get us into the groove of thinking about this miraculous and amazing book we have called the Bible. So if we can cue up the video, hopefully it works.
The Bible. It's one of the most influential books in human history.
It explores the big questions of why we exist.
It's inspired many people to do amazing things.
And confused many others.
And you've probably got one sitting around somewhere.
So, what is the Bible actually?
Well, the Bible is a small library of books that all emerged out of the history of the people of ancient Israel. And in one sense, they were just like any other ancient civilization. But among them were a long line of individuals called prophets. And they viewed Israel's story as anything but ordinary. They saw it as a central part of what God was doing for all humanity. And these prophets were literary geniuses.
Really?
Yeah, they expertly crafted the Hebrew language to write epic narratives, very sophisticated poetry. They were masters of metaphor and storytelling, and they leveraged all of this to explore life's most complicated questions about death and life and the human struggle.
So, there's a lot of different authors writing this book.
Yeah, and these texts were produced over a 1,000-year period, starting with Israel's origins in Egypt, then leading up to their kingdom with their first temple. But eventually, they were conquered by the Babylonians, who took them away into exile. Then, at a crucial moment in their history, many Israelites returned to their land. They built a second temple, they reformed their identity, and this is when the Jewish scriptures began to be formed into the shape that we have them today.
Okay, the Jewish Bible. What's in it?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called by an acronym, Tanakh. The T stands for Torah, sometimes called the Law. That's Israel's five-book foundation story. The N stands for Nevi'im, the Hebrew word for prophets. And this section consists of the historical books that tell Israel's story from the prophet's point of view. Then you get the poetic books of the prophets themselves. The K stands for Ketuvim, the Hebrew word for writings. This is a diverse collection of poetic books, wisdom books, and more narrative. And the Jewish people believe that through all of these literary works, God speaks to his people.
Now, there were other Jewish writings being produced during this Second Temple period as well.
Yeah, a really diverse group of texts. And these two were highly valued in Jewish communities. And there was debate from ancient times about whether or not some of these should be considered part of their scriptures.
So, this is a lot of different writings over a long period of time. Why did they put them all together like this?
Well, altogether, these texts tell an epic story about how God is working through these people to bring order and beauty out of the chaos of our world. And it all builds up to a hope for a new leader who would come and renew all creation. And then the Tanakh concludes, and this leader never comes.
So it's an expertly crafted work, but it's missing an ending?
That's exactly right. Now, a few centuries later, a Jewish prophet comes onto the scene named Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed he was carrying the Tanakh story forward.
Yeah, so Jesus did a bunch of cool stuff. was killed, but his followers claimed he was alive from the dead.
Yeah, they said that Jesus was that long-awaited leader who would restore the world. And so his earliest followers, called apostles, they composed new literary works about the story of Jesus. They called these Good News, or the Gospel. They formed an account called Acts about the spread of the Jesus movement outside of Israel. And then they circulated letters to different Jesus communities all around the ancient world.
And they saw these writings as part of the scripture.
Yeah, the apostles wrote all of this as the fulfillment of that epic story found in the Tanakh. And they were continuing the literary genius of the Jewish tradition. They also believed that God was speaking to his people through these texts alongside the scriptures of Israel.
So that's the Old and New Testament. But what did the early Christians think of the other Second Temple literature?
Well, different groups had different views about some of these books, but we know they read them and valued these texts because they passed them along with the Jewish scriptures.
Okay, so we've got the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. We got these other Second Temple period works. Then the writing of the apostles about Jesus. And that's a lot of literature, so what's in my Bible?
So the Christian movement has taken different forms over 2,000 years, and from the beginning, all Christians recognized the Tanakh and the New Testament as scripture. And for centuries, much of the Second Temple literature was read as part of the biblical tradition. The Catholic Church eventually made it official and called some of the books from this collection the Deuterocanonical books. Some Orthodox churches used even more books from this Second Temple literature. And then in the 1500s, during the Reformation, Protestant Christians wanted to go back to the oldest writings of the prophets and apostles, so they accepted only the Old and New Testaments.
Okay, I think I got it. But how does a collection of books produced over 1,000 years by all these different authors tell one unified story?
Yeah, that's the question we'll address in our next video.
Hey, I'm John.
And I'm Tim.
This is The Bible Project. We believe the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus and has profound wisdom for the modern world. So we're creating videos to show that.
This was the first in a brand new series that we're starting, How to Read the Bible, but we have lots of other kinds of videos. You can find it all for free on our website at jointhebibleproject.com.
In fact, there you can find a handout that will accompany this video. It just goes into more detail in the information that this video is about, and lots of other resources, so check it out. You could also be a part of this by supporting us at thebibleproject.com.
Our goal is to make all these resources available for free to anybody, anywhere, and we can do that because of your support. So thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks.
Awesome. So I love these guys. I love the work they do, and they're helping so many different churches kind of learn how do we engage with the Word of God. And you know, because when you ask what the Bible is, some people are going to say that it's a historical document. Others might say that this book is a book of instructions for how to live a good life. And while there are historical accounts and moral instructions in the Bible, more than that, the Bible is a story. It's a story that plays out over thousands of years and tells us about the God who created us, who loves us. It's a story about the God who died for us and rose again so that he could save a lost and broken world. This story, God's story, has changed each of us and has shaped the world that we live in. In fact, the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119, has as its central theme the Word of God. The longest worship song in the Bible has as its central theme the Word of God. Just listen to some of the ways the author describes the Word of God. In verse 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Verse 111, "Your laws are my treasure. They are my delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end." Verse 127, "Truly I love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold." 129, "Your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them." Verse 162, "I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure." The psalmist, the author of this song, spends 176 verses expressing their appreciation for God's word and how everyone would do well to commit themselves to it. And despite the importance and the wonder of the Word of God found in the Bible itself, many Christians go days, even weeks, or even months without engaging it. In 2019, Lifeway, their Christian publishing group, they conducted a survey which identified 8 signposts that consistently appeared in the lives of spiritually healthy believers. Engagement with the Word of God was one of these signposts. In fact, it was one of the most important. And while they found that 32% of Protestant believers claimed to read the Bible every day, 68% did not. Some of them read it once a week. Some of them read it once a month. About 12% even admitted that they hardly ever, if or never, read the Bible in a year. So I think this shows one thing, that for some of us, perhaps even many of us, we don't fully appreciate the role the Bible plays in our lives. Would you or I willingly go a couple days or weeks or months without eating food? Probably not. But many of us are starving spiritually because of our neglect of the Word of God. And so despite the importance of the Word of God, this year, many of us, many believers, will go long stretches without spending any significant amount of time in it. So today, I want to explore why it's so important that we commit ourselves to spending time in God's Word in 2021. The first reason why I think it's so important is pretty straightforward. It's that God speaks to us through His Word. And if you have your Bible, to invite you to open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be here, and then we're going to kind of jump away for a little bit, but we'll come back here. But this is a very important verse when it comes to talking about the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. We do not serve a God who is distant and disengaged from His creation. From the beginning, God has always communicated who He is to us. It began with creation itself. Psalm 19 points out that every day and every night, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Paul picks up this theme in Romans chapter 2 and says that we can know God's power and God's divine nature simply through what He created. But that wasn't enough. God wanted a personal relationship with mankind, and so He spoke. In the Old Testament, He spoke to and through His prophets, and in the New Testament, through the apostles and their close associates such as Luke and James. Today, God is still speaking to us, primarily through Scripture and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 16 that all scripture is inspired by God. And the word that gets translated here as inspired in the New Living Translation is not a normal Greek word. In fact, as far as we can tell, this word appears nowhere else in the Bible and nowhere else in any other ancient document. It almost seems like Paul invented a word here to make a point. The most literal translation of this word is God breathed. And I like this more literal translation because it reminds us of the account of creation in Genesis 2. When God created man from the dust of the earth, He breathed life into him. This divine breath gave Adam both the life and the authority to co-rule creation alongside with God. And I believe that Paul is saying that in a similar way, God breathed life and authority into all of Scripture. This is why the author of Hebrews can say that the Word of God is alive and powerful. The words contained in the Bible are breathed out words of God. Because of this, Paul says that they have authority to teach us right from wrong, truth from lie. I believe that God gave us three primary ways that He speaks to us and reveals Himself to us. And those are through the Spirit of God, the Church of God, and the Word of God. And when we neglect one of these, we risk falling into all sorts of false teachings about who God is, who we are, and what we have been called to do on this earth. And sadly, it's hard to say which of these is more neglected by Christians today. There's much confusion around who the Holy Spirit is and His role in our lives. There's a growing number of young believers who view their faith simply as a personal journey and don't see the value of gathering with others. And as we saw earlier, many believers ignore God's word for weeks or months at a time. Today, you and I can go home and we can pick up our Bibles and experience the life-giving words of God. God wants to speak to us through his word. He wants to reveal who he is, what he has done, and the plans that he has for his creation. God wants to speak to us through his word. He wants to reveal to us our new identity as his children. He wants to give us a purpose and a destiny. God wants to speak to us through his word. He wants to guide us and comfort us and give us hope when all hope seems lost. God still speaks through his word. He is not silent. The real question is, are we listening? Do we take time to incline our ears to the words of our Father? And I want to encourage us this year to make time to be in God's word. And we're going to discuss how we can do that together a little later on. So, why should we dedicate ourselves to God's word this year? First, because God desires to speak to us through it. The second reason is because the word of God is essential to our spiritual health. So if you still have your Bibles open, flip back to Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4. This is just after Jesus has been baptized, and we read that the Spirit of God leads Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And in Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus is being tempted to turn stones into bread instead of trusting God to provide and sustain him. Jesus reminds himself and his adversary in verse 4 that people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So just as food sustains us physically, God's word sustains us spiritually. In our modern society, we can forget that we are not merely physical beings, but we have a spirit. And to be healthy means that every part of us is healthy, body, mind, spirit. We nourish our bodies by feeding them, and not just feeding them anything, but by consuming healthy, nutrient-rich foods. And when we don't eat, we starve. And when we eat the wrong things, we make ourselves sick. This is true for our spirits as well. When we do not consume the life-giving words of God, we will begin to starve spiritually. And when we consume too much of the wrong things, we will grow spiritually ill. When we're physically hungry or sick, we're ineffective and we're weak. Now, the same thing happens when we neglect a regular diet of God's word. I know that at different times in my life, I've neglected reading the word and I've felt its absence in my life. When I get physically hungry, I get what they call hangry. I get very short-tempered and I also get very sluggish and I'll get like a headache. And during these the same thing happens spiritually, though, for me, too. When I push the word of God to the side to feast on like less healthy things for me, I get the same way, but on a whole other level. I'm quick to anger and I'm impatient and I lack any motivation to grow as a follower of Christ or to reach out to those who are not yet followers. And sometimes I don't even realize how hungry I am for the word until I get back in it. Have you ever experienced a similar hunger for the word? Perhaps some of us are experiencing that today. And the last thing I want us to feel is shame or guilt or feel like we're bad Christians for not reading our Bibles. The moment we give in to these thoughts and feelings is the moment the enemy wins. God is still speaking. His word is still there. And every day is another chance to pull up a chair and feed our spirits. If we feel spiritually dull or stagnant, the first thing we should ask is how often do we spend time in God's word? And what is the quality of that time? To be healthy physically, we have to eat the right way, the right things in the right way on a regular basis. And to be spiritually healthy, we need to spend time in God's word in the right way on a regular basis. And like I said before, in a moment, we're going to explore something I'm very excited about, and hopefully you'll be excited about together, of how we can do this as a church family. So committing ourselves to the word of God this year is important because God is speaking to us through it. and it's essential for our spiritual health. And finally, it's important because our time in the Word equips us for our ministry and our mission. So turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 with me. We're going to see how our time in the Word equips us for our ministry and our mission. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, picking up back at verse 17, we read that God uses it. God uses all scripture, even the book of Numbers with all the genealogies. He uses all of it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every single one of us, we have people in our lives, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, who don't believe in God, who don't follow Jesus. And the Bible is painfully clear that the path they're on, the one that we too once walked, leads to hell and eternal separation from God. And not only do we know that God wants to and is willing and able to save them from that fate, but we also know that God can and will transform their lives here and now. He can bring healing where there's hurt. He can bring hope where there's despair and peace where there's turmoil. But if we're honest, we'll admit that even after we've come to believe in God and we've placed our faith in Jesus for our salvation, we still struggle with hurt. We still wrestle with despair, and we can often find ourselves in times of turmoil. Unfortunately, on my own, I lack the wisdom, the eloquence, and the power to speak words of life to you or my neighbors, and so do you. I have nothing to offer you or anybody else except the truth and the power that I find in the Word of God. Paul realized this too as he reflected back on his visit to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, he wrote, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ and the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever or persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Paul realized that all he had to offer the church in Corinth was the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that was more than enough. If we're going to serve one another, which is our ministry, and if we're going to reach the lost, which is our mission, then we're going to need to be equipped to know and to know how to communicate the Word of God to one another inside and outside the church. Do we believe that God's word is enough? And if we do, then we must be equipped by it and with it to serve those around us. So, why is it important that we commit ourselves to spending time in God's word in 2021? First and foremost, it's important because God wants to speak to us through his word. Second, it's important because the word of God is essential for our spiritual health. And finally, our commitment to the Word of God is important because it equips us for our ministry and our mission. In 2021, and it's a new year, many of us are making New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but I would love to see things change in 2021. Like a lot of people, I could lose some weight. I definitely need to get in better shape. Before quarantine, before lockdown back in March, all my pants were fitting real nice. Now they're kind of stretching out a bit. I'm kind of looking at another belt buckle hole. I got to kind of widen my belt a little bit. So I definitely want to get in more shape. I want to be healthier. I want to eat healthier. I want to be more active. And as I was thinking about how I could be physically healthy, the verse in 1 Timothy 4:8 came to mind. And Paul reminds Timothy that physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. And so, yes, I want to be physically healthy, But more importantly, I want to be spiritually healthy. And the same way that we need to be disciplined in our physical training, we need to be just as disciplined in our spiritual training. So this year, I want to propose a challenge to our church family, a challenge that I think we're all going to benefit from. Could we as a community, as a family united under Jesus Christ, commit to reading the entire Bible in 1 year together? I mean together. If we really believe that God speaks to us through his word and that his word is essential to our spiritual health and necessary for our ministry and mission, could we commit ourselves to it and to each other in this way this year? So here's my plan. In a moment, there's going to be an image that comes up on the screen for an app called Read Scripture. This is an app that Amanda and I have used that I love. Because not only does this app provide a digital Bible reading plan for the whole year, but it also includes engaging and eye-opening videos to help us understand what we're reading. These videos are actually produced by the same people who produced the video at the beginning of our time together, and it will give you an introduction to the book or the part of the book that you're reading. It'll also give you like theme videos to kind of understand how what you're about to read fits into the bigger story of the Bible. So I want to encourage you, even now, this is like the one time where like, I guess a pastor would be okay with you guys taking out your smartphones, but go ahead and try and download this app, get this app. If you don't want to use the app or you can't, don't worry. We have physical copies of the Bible reading plan, and we will be sending out digital reading plans to everybody. We actually have some for you guys today. If you don't want to use the app, we want everybody to have access to this so that we can go through this together, so that a year from now, we can look back as a community and say, we engaged with the Word of God in 2021 as a family, and we read through the entirety of God's Word. So the app is called Read Scripture. Download it. It's a great app. This is what I'm going to be encouraging us throughout the year to be utilizing, so that we're actually literally on the same page together and we can have really good discussions about what we're reading. The next slide image that you're going to see is going to be a QR code and a bit of my personal information, so we can get that ready, because making a decision to make a positive change in our lives is a really great thing. But the research shows that 80% of our resolutions are going to be abandoned by February. And this is one commitment that I do not want us to walk away from. And one factor that's important in sticking to any sort of plan is accountability. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And though I can't be with you in person, I want to help us all succeed in this Bible challenge, this Read Scripture challenge. And so I want to encourage everybody who's able to download and connect with me on WhatsApp. You can do that by scanning this QR code, or you can do that by just finding me on the app. If you have any questions, just kind of contact us at the church and we can get you hooked up so that we can have a WhatsApp group dedicated to this challenge, where we can post encouraging verses or discuss questions or just kind of encourage each other throughout the year. Again, for those of you who can't or don't wish to make use of this app, that's 100% great. But I still want to encourage you to connect with the people around you as we undertake this challenge. Find people who you can hold accountable and who can hold you accountable as we commit to reading the Word of God this year together. So we can take down that information. We can have that information up perhaps after the service for people. And again, we will be sending out an email with this, all this information and more in the next day or so, just to kind of make sure everybody has this information. So as we begin our year of reading, I want us to begin now. There's no reason to put this off till tomorrow. So I want to encourage you to get started reading the Word of God. We're going to be starting off right in the book of Genesis. And let's start engaging God's Word this year, 2021, together as a family. I'm really excited for this. I hope you are too. I'm excited. This evening, Amanda and I are going to sit down. We're going to watch the first video, and we're going to do our first time of reading. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about it with so many of you on WhatsApp throughout the week. But I'm really excited about this. I've been wanting to just jump into it, but I'm like, no, I got to wait till Sunday. I got to wait till Sunday. We want to do this together. And so I'm very excited that it's here and that we can begin this together. And like I said, we'll be encouraging each other throughout the year as we go through this. And my hope and my prayer is that as we read through God's word this year, that we're going to be drawn closer to God. And not only that, but we're going to be drawn closer to each other. And I know that we will be better equipped to reach those around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me as we conclude our time in God's word this morning, but hopefully we'll be back in it later today. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, God. Your words are like sweet honey, sweeter than the sweetest honey. Your word is more valuable to us than a great treasure, God. It illuminates our path and keeps us from stumbling, God. But most importantly, it reveals who you are to us. It reveals how great you are and how great your love is for us. It reveals the extents to which you went to save us and to be with us. And it reveals your great plan you have for your creation and for your people. Father, as we begin this journey in your word, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just fill our hearts, fill our minds, God. Illuminate the words that we read. And even if we've read these same words 100 times, God, would you reveal something new and marvelous, something to make us fall to our knees and just worship the God who's revealed on these pages. Father, we love you and we thank you for the gift of your word and the gift of each other. And Lord, I pray that you would use this year to grow us and to equip us for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.